Last year, as we were driving to Drumara for the day of prayer, it was the wettest and windiest day of the whole year, and really miserable. So we're thankful that today it's so much better. And there's hardly any wind and only half the amount of rain. And it also helps when you live 2 miles away from the venue. But anyway, you're very welcome. And we thank the Fochan congregation for hosting us today, for all the arrangements that have been made. Let's begin by singing praise. We sing Psalm 145, selection B, and the first three stanzas. And the tune is number 289. My God, O King, in praise I will exalt you, and I will bless your name forevermore. Here is the greatness of our God, the wonder of his kingdom. We rejoice in his grace, in his power, in all his acts towards us. So, Psalm 145b, let's sing praise.
My God, O King, in praise I will exalt you.
We come into your presence with thanksgiving. We rejoice in your mercy and grace that we can know the great and mighty God that you are, the one who has created this whole universe simply by speaking the word, the one who sent his Son to be our Saviour. And Lord, we come to you today in the name of Christ, rejoicing in our great High Priest and all that he has accomplished for us. And so we come to the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that you are a Father who cares for us and who listens and who is able to help. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us safely here today. We thank you for the one who will preach your word. We pray you'd undertake for him. Make him your spokesman and speak to each one of us, we pray. Help us to be receptive and help us to be trusting and obedient. So, Lord, bless our time throughout this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, our program will follow the usual pattern. We're thankful here that we have the moderator of Synod to preach. And then after that, we'll have a time of corporate prayer, of adoration and confession. Then we'll break into smaller groups for the time of supplication, praying for the life and witness of our congregations in particular. So we'll say more about that later. We'll break for lunch between 1 and 1:30 and then meet back here again at 2:40 for our concluding devotions. So we thank Stephen for being willing to come today and preach God's word, and I hand over to you now. Thank you.
And let us now read from the Word of God, reading from Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah 4. Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up like someone wakened from sleep. He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand, with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it, with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." I asked the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" He answered, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my Lord," I replied. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel: not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of, 'God bless it, God bless it.'" Then the word of the Lord came to me, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you." Who dares despise the day of small things? Since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel. Then I asked the angel, "What are these two olive trees on the right and the left of the lampstand?" Again I asked him, "What are these two olive branches beside the gold pipes that pour out golden oil?" He replied, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my Lord," I said. So he said, "These are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth." Our time of prayer today will focus on the work in our congregations. The home section is updating the Rebuilding the Broken Walls material that we used about 20 years ago. The work in our congregations, the work of rebuilding the broken walls, can be difficult work. It can be discouraging work. How can you keep going in that work? This morning we're going to look at Zechariah chapter 4, where they were literally rebuilding broken walls. The first thing I want to notice in this chapter is that the work can be discouraging. God's people had been defeated by their enemies. They had been taken into exile. The temple had been destroyed. They'd been forced to live in a foreign country for 70 years. But then the king of the empire issued a decree that they could return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. And so that's what they did. After 2 years, the foundation of the temple is completed. There's great rejoicing. Verse 9 of Zechariah chapter 4 says, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple." And we also read about those events in the book of Ezra, chapters 1 to 3. But this work became very discouraging. When the enemies, when the nations around saw that the work on the temple was progressing, they hated that. They did everything in their power to get it stopped. And they succeeded. The work on the temple stopped for 14 years. There were huge obstacles to the work they were trying to do, described in verse 7 as mighty mountains. And there was very little happening. Verse 10 speaks about the day of small things. We're told about these events in more detail in Ezra's chapter 4 and 5. The work was stopped for 14 years. Think of a building project you've been involved in one way or another. There are always some delays. Maybe it's with getting planning permission. Maybe it's with getting materials. Maybe it's with the workers. But for the work to be stopped for 14 years, that's a long time. That must have been extremely discouraging. These people had traveled home from exile to do this work. And now it's ground to a halt. And the work that we're involved in can be discouraging. And we rejoice that some of our congregations are growing. Some of our churches don't have enough room in their buildings for their people. But for many congregations, that's not the case. Many of our congregations are small. Maybe elderly. We still keep doing the work. We still keep reaching out in lots of different ways. But we see few, if any, people coming in. Those who do come in often leave after a while. And we end up seeing very little real growth. And we face huge obstacles, mighty mountains, public opinion is determinedly against God and His Word. What we do is not politically correct. There are powerful lobby groups fighting against what we stand for. Our governments are making laws that go against the teaching of God's word. And that's filtering to every level of society. It's being taught in our schools. The work can be discouraging. But the other thing that I want us to see in this chapter is that the Lord will supply everything we need for this work to be completed. Zechariah sees a vision. In verses 2 and 3, we're told that he sees a solid gold lampstand with 7 lamps. He also sees 2 olive trees. God's people have come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. What will any Jewish person immediately think of when they see a solid gold lampstand with seven lamps? They'll think there were lamps like that in the temple. When the tabernacle was being built, Moses was told in Exodus chapter 25, verse 31, make a lampstand of pure gold. Verse 37, then make its seven lamps and set them up on it so that they light the space in front of it. So there was a lampstand like this one in the tabernacle. And when the temple was being built, we're told in 2 Chronicles 4, verse 7, Solomon made 10 gold lampstands according to the specifications for them and placed them in the temple, 5 on the south side and 5 on the north. So there were 10 lampstands, like the one described here in the temple. But what's different here in this vision that Zechariah sees? Well, it's the trees. There are 2 olive trees standing beside this lampstand. And verse 12 of Zechariah 4 tells us, these 2 olive branches beside the gold pipes that pour out golden oil. So there is oil being piped from the trees to the lampstand. How did the oil get to the lampstand in the temple, in the tabernacle? Well, Exodus 27, verse 20 says, command the Israelites to bring you clear oil of pressed olives for the light, so that the lamps may be kept burning. The Israelites had to go to the olive trees. They had to harvest the olives. They had to press them. They had to bring the oil, put it in the lamp, and burn it. But here in Zechariah, the oil comes directly from the trees, without any human input. It comes by itself. What does all this mean? Well, Zechariah asked the angel, what does the vision mean? Verse 4, I asked the angel who talked with me, what are these, my Lord? He answered, don't you know what these are? No, my Lord, I replied. So he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. This vision is a message from God to Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel's leading God's people in this work of rebuilding the temple. And God's message to Zerubbabel is, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. This work of rebuilding the temple is not going to be achieved by human effort, by might or by power, but by God's Spirit. And God goes on to tell Zerubbabel that this work on the temple will be completed. He says in verse 7, what are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Whatever obstacles are in the way, no matter how great or powerful they are, God is going to bulldoze them. He's going to flatten them. And the last stone in the temple will be brought out. The temple will be finished. As it says in verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. God gives this vision of oil coming from olive trees through pipes to this lamp to show that this work is not done by human effort. God himself will do it by his Spirit. In the past, people needed to go to a lot of human effort to get water. Maybe your grandfather or a great-grandfather needed to go to the well. They needed to walk there each day. They needed to raise the water up. They needed to carry it back. There was a lot of work involved in it. And in the summer, if it was very dry, the water ran out. What do you need to do to get water? Get up in the morning, you turn on the tap, it's just there. It's piped to your house. And here in the temple, God is showing that it's not about human effort. God himself is going to supply everything that they need. It's like God's power is piped from heaven so that this work will be completed. It will be finished. Surely that must have encouraged these discouraged people who hadn't been able to make any significant progress in this work for 14 years. God comes to them, God tells them he will give them everything that they need. This work will be completed. And surely it should also encourage us to keep going in our work, in our congregations, in rebuilding the broken walls. We too are involved in the work of rebuilding the temple. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? 1 Peter 2, verse 5. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. If you were involved in a small startup company that was building rockets, it's very difficult. You run into problems. The money starts to run out. You get discouraged. You think it's never going to be finished. We can't go on. But then you get a big grant or a big contract to give you all the money you will ever need to get it done. It lifts your spirit. You're encouraged. You keep going with the work. And that's what it's like with us. God tells us he will give us everything we need for this work. Surely that will encourage us to keep going in it. Often we look too much at ourselves. We We look at the people in our churches. There's not too many of them. We look at how much they're able to do. Some of them are getting older, not able to do what they used to be able to do. Some of them have young families and very little time. We look at other resources. We look at our buildings and maybe we think they're not very suitable. We look at our bank accounts and think we don't have much money. But there's no point looking at ourselves. We can't do this work anyway. We can't save people. We can't change people's thinking. We can't build the church. Only God can do that. And he has promised that he will. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church. And he will finish that work. In Philippians 1 verse 6, writing to the church in Philippi, it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And God will give us everything that we need for our role in that work. Later in Philippians in chapter 4 verse 19 it says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. God will build his church. And Zechariah tells us how he will do that. Verse 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. He doesn't do it by physical strength. He doesn't do it by how much energy we have. He doesn't do it by our abilities. He doesn't do it by us having extremely outgoing personalities. That's not what it depends on at all. The work of rebuilding the church depends, he says, on my spirit. If that was true of rebuilding the physical temple, how much more is it true of the work we're involved in of rebuilding and building the spiritual temple? Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. The Spirit has been poured out on us in a far fuller way than it was on God's people in the Old Testament. After Jesus died and rose from the dead, he gave his Holy Spirit to all of his people. Because Jesus died and rose from the dead. He gave his spirit to all of his people. It's because Jesus died on the cross that our sins can be forgiven, that our relationship with God can be restored, that God can come to live within us by his spirit. And he enables us to do this work of rebuilding the church. Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Doesn't depend on our energy, doesn't depend on our strength, doesn't depend on our resources. The Holy Spirit gives us the power of God, enables us to speak of Jesus. And God uses that to build his church. We don't need numbers. As Jonathan said to his armor bearer as they were going to attack the Philistines, nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. God doesn't need large congregations in order to be able to save people. Nothing can hinder the Lord. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. At the start of the book of Acts, we're told there were about 120 believers. The Holy Spirit comes on them. And in that first day, 3,000 are saved and added to their number. And more are saved every day after that. We have that same Holy Spirit. Zechariah is given this vision to encourage God's people that the work that they're involved in the temple, the work that has ground to a halt, the work that has seen nothing significant happening for years, God will supply all that's needed. And that work will be completed. And God used that message that he gave Zechariah to enable the people to do that work. Ezra chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. So the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, descendant of Iddo. They finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel. The people heard this message. And they were encouraged. They continued in the work. And the work was completed. And as we hear this message, whatever mighty mountains we face, whatever delays there are in this work, God is reminding us that he will give us everything that we need for this work to be finished. He will do that through his Holy Spirit. Yes, the work can be discouraging. But remember that God will supply everything you need so that this work will be completed. That will encourage you to keep going for his glory. Let us stand to pray. Father, we thank you for how you come to us when we face difficulties in the work, when we face discouragement in the work. Father, we thank you for how you assure us that it doesn't depend on human effort. Ultimately, it's not about what we do. But Father, that you will give us everything that we need so that your work on this earth will be completed. Father, we thank you for how you have given us your Holy Spirit. We thank you for how he works in us and through us. Lord, we pray that we would see that more and more, so that we would see your church being built up for your glory and your praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Stephen, for that searching word. We'll sing praise, Psalm 147, selection A, and verses 1 to 4. The tune is Webb, number 231. Here is the God who builds his church. The God who created the whole universe. The God of grace. 147a, 1 to 4, let's sing praise.
The Lord reigns forever.